There is a growing suspicion that there is need for academic birth control. And this is based on the contention that if alma mater had fewer to nourish, her children would be less anemic. Those of our institutions which are breaking up into resident groups and are perfecting tutorial and preceptorial systems show true vision. The term mass education is self-contradictory. There can be no real educational system which leaves the individual out of consideration. We have strongly before us in these days of the Great Depression striking examples of the results obtained from the worship of uncontrolled bigness. Here we have seen hunger and privation in a country that is producing more food than we know what to do with. Our government feels it necessary to ask the farmer to plow under every third row. His ideal may have been to produce the biggest crop in his township, whether it was needed or not. In our metropolitan area, the worship of bigness has led us to fling skyscrapers higher and higher into the air, with the result that cities are now faced with tremendous overbuilding, unused space, increased traffic congestion, commercial inefficiency, and discomfort in living. Before the wreck of 1929, many industrial and business organizations had grown so big that the men at their head were quite incapable of comprehending their ramifications. Developed in their students and intelligence direction of education, I'm probably glad that it is, but it will also develop in their students and in those who have the direction of education under their control. Develop in their students and intelligence in those situations created by teeming millions of population and countless square miles of territory. And the basic element in such interests must be the right and the welfare of each individual. It is upon such recognition that the security of a representative form of government depends. If it cannot be accomplished, there is chaos ahead. And it cannot be accomplished in a nation where uncontrolled bigness is not only tolerated but encouraged. We have had enough of mediocrity in our leadership. Our need is for men of outstanding parts, trained to the limit of their individual abilities, not leveled down to the commonplace. Only such leadership can meet the challenge of the crisis in national affairs, in business, in the social order. Such is the leadership which institutions like Haverford have the unique opportunity of developing. Under the leadership of her distinguished president and his scholarly colleagues on the faculty, the opportunity is here being realized. This occasion should give us renewed hope for the future, for the ultimate triumph of what is great over what is big.